So what about certain activities in our life which are not necessarily directly detrimental, but they take time and we feel like doing them, but at the same time we know that they are consuming our time and energy. So how do we deal with them? See, I'll give one metaphor which will address this many questions in this area. That when we are living in the world, our present existence is like a diseased condition. And the practice of yoga, yoga chikitsakam, bhakti yoga is the chikitsa, the medicine, the therapy by which we'll be cured. We are eternal beings, but we are currently identifying with the temporary body. And the healing is when we realize our spiritual identity. So when a patient is sick, at that time, when the patient is sick, they may be in pain. So now the doctor will give a curative medicine and the doctor will also give a pain medicine. So now the pain medicine is important in the sense that the pain medicine provides immediate relief. And the pain medicine and the curative medicine work complementary. So similarly for us, the practice of bhakti yoga is like the curative medicine. Our whole material life, in a sense, is like the pain medicine. So Krishna says that one who eats too little or eats too much, such a person cannot be yogi. Why? If we eat too much, then again, the mind becomes obsessed with food. Then we can't think about higher spiritual growth. But if we eat too little, then also we are constantly thinking of food. So not having food is a pain. So hunger is a big problem in the world. But are all the well-fed people in the world happy? No, they have their own set of problems, isn't it? So food is vital, but it is like a painkiller. It's essential. So extending this metaphor further, our whole material life, whatever we need in it, or whatever we feel we need also, that is like a painkiller. Now, when somebody is in a hospital, there are two extremes. One is to go on a campaign against painkillers. Give up all painkillers. The other is to go on a campaign for painkillers. Thinking that, oh, actually I take this painkiller, my pain goes away. Why do I need to take this medicine at all? So the point is, in material life, if we become too averse to material life, I can't do this, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, then again, that's obsession. We are obsessed with what I should not do. So the whole point is our mental energy should be free for focusing on Krishna and on higher spiritual things in our life. So if we are too strongly against material things, that consumes our mental energy. And conversely, if we are too strongly for material things, that also consumes our mental energy. I want this, I want this. The idea is that, oh, if I just get this one thing, I'll become happy in my life. So then, both ways it is a problem. Now the dicey thing here is that with this metaphor is that different people require different dosages of painkiller. So say for example, somebody who's been born and brought up in a rural setting. It's a simple city, not much technological amenities. Now, if they come to a city and they get a lot of technological amenities, they can use them, but they don't need them. But somebody who has lived in a city, and then you go in a rural setting without any basic technological facilities, that itself becomes such a big trouble. So the point is that we have to decide what is the dosage of painkiller that I need so that I can focus. So now, just like with respect to food, we learn by experience. Now, how much should I eat? Sometimes we eat too much and then we feel drowsy, we feel heavy, we become obese, and then we feel this is just not worth it. So same way with sleep. Sometimes we feel, I want to work, I want to achieve, so I won't sleep. But then we may sleep less at night, but we are sleepy throughout the day then. So just as we learn to arrive at a balance ourselves, with respect to food and sleep, similarly with respect to material life, in general, whichever activities we may be involved in, we arrive at a balance that way. That means that if If I get too obsessed with it, then it consumes my thoughts and I am not free to think about higher things. But if I am too militant against it, then also it's a problem. So usually with respect to our material desires, we all have to learn how to deal with them. No. It is not that the formula for dealing with material desires which works for me will work for you. Or which works for you will work for someone else. No, we all have our own mind. We all have our own background, our own conditionings. So we need to find out what is the level at which I can be in material life by which I can peacefully focus on my spiritual growth. Some of us may need to work through some desires. Some of us may have certain desires. Some of us can just hear about philosophy and we feel, okay, there's no point in indulging in this. I just give it up. Some of us may want to fulfill some desires and gradually work through that. That's fine. So the important thing is that don't see the painkiller as a replacement for the medicine. It's my material life. Whatever I need to do, I'll do it. But I won't let it take up so much of my time that I can't practice focus on spiritual life. So based on this broad understanding, so there we could classify our material activities into three levels, three kinds. There is pro-devotional, there is non-devotional, and there is anti-devotional. So for example, alcoholism, drugs, these activities are anti-devotional. And they need to be given up. Of course, one can start practicing spiritual life even when one is doing these activities. But they will impede the spiritualization of our consciousness very much. So they need to be given up. Now, pro-devotional activities are those things which we can use. They're not directly devotional. Say somebody wants to learn music. Somebody wants to learn singing. Somebody wants to learn some talents, say video processing. So that's a talent we can use. It's a pro-devotional activity. Now, we can use it in devotional service. Then there are non-devotional activities. They may not be directly usable in devotional service, but they're not anti-devotional. So if we could, whatever our material needs and material desires are, if we could find the fulfillment for them in the pro-devotional range of activities, that is the best. So I used to love words. Since my childhood, one of my hobbies was just to pick up a dictionary and memorize words. So now for me, writing is an activity I simply love. So I love writing, but by Krishna's mercy now I'm writing for Krishna. So if we can find out something in our, see, if we consider this one circle to be our material life and another circle to be our devotional life, if we can find something that is at the intersection of the two and then we develop that, then we will be able to not only develop the material talent wholeheartedly, but also we'll be able to use it constructively in devotional service. So that it's best to find something within the pro-devotional activities, and then we can let them go. But otherwise, if there are some non-devotional activities also which we feel like doing, then that's up to us. We have to find out which consumes too much mental energy. That, oh, I will not do it, I'll not do it, I'll not do it, I'll not do it. We're thinking so much about that, that actually we're not doing anything constructive. Now, our purpose should always be clear that our focus is on the war for devotion. Our focus is not on the battle against temptation. The two are related, but the two are not the same. There are specific temptations which you have to fight, and we fight against them. But our focus is on the war for devotion. Do devotional activities wholeheartedly. And while fighting that war, one battle is the battle against temptation. Sometimes we just make the battle against temptation as the center of our whole consciousness. Should I do this? Should I give this up? Should I do this or should I give this up? It doesn't matter. It's not that big. Focus on practicing bhakti. And if you start practicing bhakti, we start saying yes to Krishna, then whether to say yes to other things, how much to say yes, whether to say no, all that will settle, fall in place on its own. So focus on connecting with Krishna wholeheartedly and other things will fall in place. Does that answer your question?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.